Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Today, it's the first of two episodes dedicated to the new Lion King, director Jon Favreau's remake of Disney's musical classic. First up, Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen, who star as Timon and Pumbaa, telling me all about meeting their co-star Beyoncé for the first time at the movie's world premiere in Hollywood. Then, I've got Keegan-Michael Key and Chiwetel Ejiofor. It's all coming up right after the break. Stick around. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Now, Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen. Okay, what's your favorite Lion King song?
Man.
That's not a song.
I Just Can't Wait to Be King is the one that is stuck in my head the most.
Mm-hmm. So interesting.
It really is. I don't know why. But
I like Circle of Life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great opening song. It's really hard to beat Circle of Life.
You really can't.
Yeah. I played on by Circle of Life earlier today.
I know. That's crazy.
So, Seth, you slid into Billy's Twitter DMs.
I did. I mean, yeah.
Did someone not give you his number?
Did you not get his number?
We don't have your Twitter.
That
is really weird.
Exclusively communicate yes. over Twitter.
We're young social media.
We're millennials.
Yeah, exactly.
Millennial adjacent?
Yeah, exactly. You are millennial.
I'm technically
Isn't
a
that
millennial.
Amazing? Seth yeah. Rogen's a millennial.
I'm the last one.
No. Yeah.
I am literally
the oldest millennial.
They like shut the door. They saw me. They're like, one more get in, I guess. But like, yeah, that's exactly what it was.
The oldest millennial. You guys met before? Or?
Yeah. We knew each
Lots
other. We
yeah.
had done.
I'd done his show.
He had done Billy on the Street. I had a few scenes in Neighbors too.
You did my charity event like almost 10 years, like
yeah,
eight years
for
ago.
Charity.
Or something.
Yeah, so we knew each other.
So who? Do you know who came up with the idea for the two of you?
It was John.
Just wow.
Yeah, I really think it was John. I had no idea, literally, until my agent called and said they want you to do it, that I was up for consideration even.
Yeah,
came completely out of the blue.
Yeah, me too. He just literally texted me.
And
John
then
has my number.
Yeah,
he didn't slide into your DM. Yeah.
He's not a millennial.
So do you do a chemistry read for something like this?
No,
or you just
no,
go for
no.
it.
You just cast us.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
but you guys did some rehearsal.
No,
you
guys, it was not like it was on. Everything, it was all captured.
A lot of the things in our rehearsal and literally
are
in
the
movie.
Yeah,
like, because that's where we did a lot of our improv and a lot of our riffing, and a shocking amount of it is in the final.
Especially
product.
when we first come in and we find like young Simba like mm-hmm. laying there, like I think it's from the time when like the first day we recorded, we were in this like black box theater with JD who plays young Simba, and we were trying to like get our lines right and stuff, and John was just like, put down the scripts and just like act out the scene as though you know the point of the scene. You find this little tiger, you are scared, you debate talking to him, you talk to him, you try to help him, and like and we just
we were like running around each other. We were kind of embodying the characters up on our feet.
I really want you to stand up right now and just do
your mirror gadget. I have a feeling Disney will do something with that footage one day.
They have to.
No doubt.
No, it was pretty amazing. And again, they used a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
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 How nervous were you, though? This is such an iconic movie, such a classic movie, such iconic roles. Do you, like, when they say, okay, here's the role for you, do you automatically take it, or do you say, like, do I really want to touch this classic?
I mean, I had to take it for financial reasons,
exactly,
Mark.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where you obviously do it, and you know there are so many people who would kill for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it. But at the same time, you do worry a little, especially for us. I mean, Timon and Pumbaa, those are characters people remember.
Yep.
Hakuna Matata.
Yeah.
I mean, those are iconic things. For me, I grew up in New York. I've loved Nathan Lane forever, since even before he did Lion King. I knew who Nathan Lane was, seeing him on stage in New York. So all of that was kind of swirling around in my head. But then a lot of it, to John's credit, he really created an environment where we felt relaxed and where we could try things and fail and try weird things and bounce ideas off of each other. It was incredibly collaborative. And the movie really, for me, and I'm not just saying this, it's really a triumph for John. You could really feel how confident he was in his vision for things like Timon and Pumbaa being able to improvise and actually putting that in the movie, you know, so that it feels natural and conversational. And that's all John.
Totally, 100%.
So you made you feel relaxed. So was it really relaxing knowing that Beyonce is also in the movie?
Yeah,
it was. Yeah. Again, we were like, this will probably do really well.
Yeah. I was like, I think people might see this.
Exactly, yeah. That's great. Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, John is like, he was very, he seemed to have a very clear vision. And yeah. like, and it did make it not nerve-wracking. It yeah. made it fun, right. honestly. And yeah. like, when you're working with someone who, you know, is really good and who seems confident and seems to have like a really great movie in their right. sights, and then it's really just fun, and you trust them, and you're like, I'll just do whatever you ask, and I'll do as much of it as you want, and you'll mm-hmm. use it in the way that you need to.
And know? I love that he used her laugh.
Yeah,
that got a huge got a laugh. Huge
yeah, yes. yeah. I, it sounded like a real one. I'm sure they yeah. capture a lot yeah. of those. Yeah, like, yeah.
So, what was it like watching the characters for the first time and hearing your voice come out of a meerkat and a warhawk? Is it just
yeah.
surreal?
It's the first. I'm trying to think. The first time I saw it, I saw a rough cut of it. We watched a rough cut back in October, yeah. and I have to say. With me and with Pumbaa too, but our characters are so adorable. I
yeah.
mean, the designers did a remarkable job. And so, you know, I remember talking to John early on because I knew he cast me because, you know, he was a big Billy on the Street fan. And but I didn't want it to be exactly like that. Yeah. I didn't think that would work. You know, I didn't want to just put Billy on the Street in Lion King. But what I thought
Billy on Pride Rock.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, but something about seeing that character, like how this little adorable guy, mm-hmm. You know, mixed with my personality, I think is what really makes it work.
Yeah.
And they were really smart to do it that way.
Yeah.
So honestly, when I saw it, I was like relieved.
Yeah. So how many movies are you signed up for? Lion King sequels?
I don't know. Are we signed up for Lion King sequels? Is there more of these?
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to make Lion King 2.
Disney, maybe one and a
Disney
half.
Plus shows?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Oh.
I don't read my contracts, honestly.
No.
I have no idea what I've gotten myself.
I want to do a small cabaret show just with Seth.
Yeah, exactly.
Very small.
Yeah. Literally,
very
that's
small
what,
theater.
The Timon and Pumbaa Chronicles.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I literally almost tweeted last night, you guys have to go on the road together.
Yes.
We would.
And singing. How nervous yeah. were you? You talked to me yesterday about like theaters, that's your first love, musical theater.
Yeah.
Seth, where did you fall in that? Were you like, yep, I'm ready to sing?
I was ready to do it. I mean, my skill level is debatable, I think, at times. But I just trusted John and I was like willing to try anything. I'm not precious with my performances and what I am trying to give to the director. I just did it as much as they wanted me to. And I kept telling them if they would just auto-tune me, it would be much easier. But they said they didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So instead I went in and I just did it until they were happy, and it was fun, honestly. Like I think that was something that I was also trying to maintain, is to, again, not be nervous or rigid, or
right.
you know, to feel like it's a fun character who's enjoying singing the songs and who himself is not self-conscious of his right. performing abilities. And so I had to convey that, and I'm very happy. I mean, I'm thrilled with how it turned out. It's
great. I thought it worked so well, yeah. honestly.
When you hit some of those notes,
right? But
he sings entire songs.
I have a lot of singing to do in the movie. For me, I mean, just on a selfish level, that was so fun because I haven't sung professionally ever.
So when are we seeing you on Broadway in a musical?
That come would be on. Fun. I don't know.
Come on, you have
to
be in
to
talks
do.
With someone. They've had to come after you. Already.
I'm always someone who like has to think of it, you know, and then like make it happen. That's how it is. But I will say no. But I meant when I said it works, I mean, what Seth is doing, I love that they didn't auto-tune it because
yeah.
it feels so authentic and it feels real and it's so charming, you know.
Right.
It really contributes to the organic feel of the movie, which I think was John's vision for it the whole time.
Yeah, it's why I was like, just so you know, like, I am not like a trained singer, nor has anyone ever asked me to sing in any real
you
capacity.
You could sing right now. You could prove to the world you
yeah,
could
exactly.
sing right now.
His whole thing was just like, it'll be fine. Like, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
Like, the character can,
yeah.
like, it totally works with the character if he is not like the most proficient singer that is in the film.
So
I want it to be.
So
and that's why I'm the second most.
Was Beyonce signed on when you guys signed on or afterwards?
No.
She came on later.
Came
and
on
how do
a little
you,
bit
like,
later.
Does John send a group text saying, oh, by the way,
think that I read it online. Like,
I think I read it online.
Yeah. I texted him like, is this real? And he was like, yeah.
What was it like being in her presence last night?
She's the only person I've seen get a standing ovation for before they do anything.
Yes,
just existing.
Yeah.
And again, and it just made sense. Like, yeah. No part of me was like, she doesn't deserve a standing ovation for just existing. Yeah. I was just like, yes.
It's Beyonce.
Everyone stand up.
Yeah. That was a really thrilling, surreal moment.
That was just getting to shit. And it is one of those things. Like, I have that experience a lot in my life where, like, I am on stage with someone else who is much more beloved than I am. And I feel, although they are getting the majority of the claps and applause, I feel like I'm getting a small, like, yeah. The spillover.
It rubs off a little bit.
Yeah. But with that Beyonce thing, I was like, wow, I'm getting a little... I got a sense of what Beyonce gets wherever she goes, and it felt fantastic.
She was really lovely. We happened to be backstage together. Seth and I were the first ones backstage waiting to go on, and then Beyonce was the next person.
Which
Beyonce and Jay-Z, so it was just us.
Yeah.
And she, Seth and I were just like in the corner, like not knowing
what
to
do?
Say.
Do we say hi?
She came right up to us, introduced herself, gave us all
a hug. Does she say, hi, I'm Beyonce?
She just says hello. Yeah. And I was like, hi, I'm Billy Eichner. I play Timon. And she was like, I know. Yeah. And I gave us a hug. She could not have been nicer,
honestly.
She
was very nice, yeah.
She knows probably that people are a little intimidated. And she, yeah, exactly. And so, like, she completely, you know, it was a very relaxing, lovely moment. Yeah.
And Donald Glover. I mean, that dude's a genius.
Nice, yeah, yeah, he's really on his own level, like in his own lane. But also, he's such a great artist. But then when you hang with him and work with him,
nice,
couldn't
like,
be more chill.
Accessible, like
yeah, you would never know, you know, that he's like one of like the hottest stars on the planet.
No,
right,
in multiple mediums. No. You know, he's the greatest.
Okay, I have to ask you, Walter Cronkite.
Oh, I don't know if that movie's going to happen ultimately. We pushed it and then, like, I think they tried to get it. I don't know. Yeah, me and David Gordon Green were wanting to make it, and then we both were doing other things, and then I don't know. But what's a funny, a weird, surreal thing that happened to me is I was on the street in New York the other day, like maybe a month ago, and a man walks up to me, and he's like, I'm Walter Cronkite's son. And I heard you might be playing my father in a film. And he's like, I think that would be great.
That was a Billy on the Street bit.
Yeah, exactly. And then it turned out that it was Emma Stone. Yeah. A lot of prosthetic makeup.
But you thought she was Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, exactly.
And then is this the hair for Jerry Rubin?
No, this is, I'm doing...
This hair
for,
is good.
It's amazing. I'm doing another film that I have to... I'm doing like a couple like pickup shots for, so I have to regrow my hair.
Got That's it. Good. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what's next for you? You got that rom-com.
What's
I
next
know,
for
I
me?
Know, I want to know who's going to
co-star. Working on this gay rom-com. Yes.
Seth, who should play his love interest in the rom-com?
Oh,
I don't know the character.
Yeah, he doesn't know. The script is under wraps.
Yeah.
no, I'm excited about that. I'm doing my first comedy special for Netflix. Which
exciting.
I'm going to shoot hopefully before the end of the year. And there's more Billy on the Street I have to do. Never goes away. I love it, though. It's great. It reminds me who I am.
Did you ask Beyonce to be on?
No.
Why not?
No, I'm not bothering Beyonce with that.
Sure, you honestly should.
She has enough to do. Maybe Jay-Z.
Yeah, Jay-Z
he's from New York.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Blue.
Yeah, Blue. Or all of them.
All of them.
Yes.
We're family
awesome. You guys are amazing. I always have fun.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Have fun with Meghan Markle.
Thank you. Yes.
And Camilla. Camilla, yeah.
Oh, if Camilla I see Camilla Ball. Parker Bowles, I'm going to freak out.
Really?
That's who you're most excited about?
No, not. Just it's so bizarre.
I mean, do you have to get, like, what is it? Like, etiquette?
Yes.
Lessons?
Oh, they're,
not
they,
lessons. There's like a protocol.
There's rules. Yeah,
and
there's
rules. It's like you're not allowed to touch.
All those rules.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
That was Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen. Now we're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Keegan-Michael Key. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. Now it's Keegan-Michael Key.
Congratulations.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm great. I'm exhilarated.
Yeah.
I'm spent and exhilarated at the same time because it was a great night.
Are you tired?
I am tired, but that's a jet laggy thing. That's a whole other thing. Yeah.
So what was it like sitting in the Dolby Theater last night? You look up on the screen and there's Beyonce. No. You look up on the screen. There's a hyena. Yeah. And your voice, My voice is coming out of it.
I mean, it was actually very, this process has been very disparate. So mm-hmm. it was actually surprising. I was at the point that the hyenas appeared, I was still getting used to how the mouths were working on the animals. As I thought, John Favreau did such a wonderful job with making it look as realistic as one would say. If I go, hey, let's watch a National Geographic special. What would animals' mouths look like if they spoke? It wasn't because we never did an emotion capture. So it was a feeling of otherworldliness mm-hmm. in a way. But then I felt, okay, this is definitely what we were discussing in detail in the room when we were rehearsing it. So it's just another feather in John's cap when you see how specific of a director he is. And the thing is, he has such a passion for the technical side and a passion, but he started as an actor and such a passion for the working with actors in a very organic way that actors, certainly I enjoyed.
Right. Because Seth and Billy were telling me like a lot of their stuff was so ad lib from like just rehearsed. He mm-hmm. just got it from that. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't.
Same thing with me and Eric. Wow. Exact same thing with me and Eric where he said, I need line A, I need line G. Do whatever you want with B, C, D, E, and F, but make sure you're getting me, you're on a path that gets me to G. Mm-hmm. I know I need those two lines. Those are building blocks. But then other than that, he'd really let you go. And the fact that everybody was mic'd all the time so that he can get really organic efforts. Mm-hmm. If you're moving, I guess it was really well wrought, the creative process. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing that Billy and Seth were talking about is what Eric and I experienced.
So Lion King is such a classic.
Yeah.
People love it so much. Why should they see the new one?
I think they should see the new one because it has a sense of gravitas that the old one didn't have. Mm-hmm. And not to speak just about the hyenas or our part, but those characters were reimagined mm-hmm. in a way. There is a very noticeable and I believe positive lack of schmaltz to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is the visuals, part of these intense, real-looking photo realistic visuals. But another part of it is I think it's John's spirit that's been infused into the piece. Mm. There's a lot of honoring tradition, but I think it's really honoring the themes and the messages. And that's why people should come and see it. It's also a visual feast.
But it's also dark. I mean, we all knew The Lion King is dark because there's death. But this brings it to a level where I was like, our kids are going to get freaked out.
I know. It's a really interesting line that we're crossing because it's an unmitigated darkness this time. It was mitigated before by looking at a creature with your eyes that's on celluloid that's not real and was made on a cell and a completely different process. There's so much verisimilitude to the milieu and to the environment that I'm looking forward to it. Let's say this. I'm curious to see.
Right.
How small children will react to it. Mm. And anywhere from, because I think kids from age 11 to age 5 are going to see this. I think if you're kind of 12 or older in this YouTube era, they see a lot of stuff.
That's true. Good point.
They see less. So my feeling is what they're consuming on their phones and on YouTube may help facilitate them having a good experience. It's not traumatic. Right. A fun experience. Right. Yeah.
What happens when you do get a phone call? Is it John who calls you? Does he, you know, send you a text saying, "Hey, I want you to be in The Lion King. I want you to play one of the hyenas."
Yeah. It was the beginning of it was super traditional. It was a lot of, you know, the agents are like, you could tell that even the agents typing the email were excited. You know, they're like, just call us back. There's an email there, but well, if you could just, whenever you're ready. I'm like, what is going on? You know? And then you call them back. This is what my agents do. They slow everything down. They go, so Keegan, got a call from Favreau. And I'm like, what? Okay, what is it? What is it?
You're like, I'm the new Iron Man?
Yes, exactly. I'm like, is Cheadle okay? Right. So then it was a small, John was already so entrenched in the project that I didn't get to have as much interaction with him as I would have liked to have until I was there. Now, when I was with him, aces. Right. He's so involved and so passionate about it. And he and I come from a similar pedigree. We're both trained actors, but also both came up in the improv world in Chicago, the sketch and improv world in Chicago. So we share a shorthand and there's nomenclature that we're both familiar with. And so that made it a dream to work with him. It was really fantastic to have that opportunity to go, oh, I need a little bit more of this here, or zhuzh that here, or yes and him more here. Right. All these improv terms. Yep. Like, I'm your guy. I know what you mean. I got it. Yeah.
And just say yes.
Just say yes. Just say yes. Yeah.
What was it like being in the presence of Beyonce last night? It is just...
Can I tell you what? It was very calming. I said to my wife, I was like, you know, I'm doing all this. And she's like, we were both like humming. And then she goes, Beyonce's over there. And when I walked over, she has this lovely kind of subdued grace about her, which I've seen her at her fiercest, right, and I've seen her at her most emotional. And I think the work she does in the movie is really strong, really solid and really strong. And I think she's grown a lot as an actor, but she was, I did not expect her to be as soft spoken as she was, but I...
You think she was going to scream at you to get into formation?
There is a palpable grace that comes off of her. And which I think can usually be intimidating, but I was really actually calmed by her energy. I was not expecting that at all. That's what threw me. I'm a very tactile person. Did not go in for the hug. Did not go. I shook her hand. I feel like there's this like a reverent, and that usually I don't care. Like
that's
it's like a royal thing. Yeah. So we're going to the London premiere next week, and so I'm like I'm practicing.
So have you been given your?
We've been given our protocol. We've been given the protocol.
So what did you learn that you do or don't do?
I was not aware that you do not, after the initial greeting, you don't speak until you're spoken to. And you're supposed to end every sentence with, I think it's either sir or your majesty or just your majesty. And the other thing is this. So like I go to shake your hand, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to go like this. I'm not allowed to go, it's a pleasure to meet you, your majesty. That's what I'm not allowed to do.
Right.
I'm not allowed to do this. It's a pleasure to meet you, your majesty. It has to be this. So the protocol says, it is a pleasure to meet you, your majesty. And then you do the, it's intense. It's a whole thing. And then I'm like, do I have to do it to Megan? She's American. Do I get a dispensation for Megan? Or
she's
like,
an actress. She was on Suits.
She's on Suits.
Do you have to bow to her?
I don't think so.
You know what you should do? You should wear tails and have the feathers go up when you bow.
we just start calling it. Let's get that hashtag Zazu. Just start pulling a Zazu. Did you Zazu to Beyonce? I did, but yeah.
That's wild, though.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? There's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think he's so young. You'd like to think he doesn't care.
Right.
But my guess is, if you grow up in it, maybe it's like, I'm not going to feel comfortable.
And you don't want to be the one that the Daily Mail clicks you during the wrong thing.
And then you're doing the wrong thing. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
So your favorite Lion King song?
My favorite Lion King song is Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Why?
I think I'm a romantic at heart. I also feel like it's the part of the story. It's the beginning of the turn. Because you've really ostensibly for like 20 minutes have Simba just going, fuck it. I'm just going to do my thing. You know what I mean? You know? And then for him to, it's when Nala comes back that he starts to step into his highest self.
Right.
And that to me is why it's important. That's why that song's significant to me. I know I'm talking about plot structure, but it's important. It's the thing that it's part of what I think makes most of us remember it. Mm. It's there's love of family, but then there's this thing about what's my destiny and do I have the bravery to step into my destiny? And you get by with a little help from your friends. So that's why that's why it's my song. I'm actually getting goosebumps. I'm thinking about it, right?
Disney Plus, how many times do you have to play the hyena in a Disney Plus show now?
Listen, that's going to be a really interesting contract negotiation.
Well, good luck with that.
Right,
your
exactly.
Majesty.
Yeah,
your Majesty. That was Keegan-Michael Key. Coming up after this short break, Scar himself, Oscar nominee Chiwetel Ejiofor. Welcome back to The Big Ticket. Now, Chiwetel Ejiofor. How are you?
Very good. Very good. How are you?
You're in Lion King.
That's true.
How wild is that?
Pretty wild.
What? Pretty wild. So what was it like in the theater last night? You look up on the screen, Scar comes, you know, walking on, and he opens his mouth, and it's your voice.
Yeah. No, amazing. Amazing. Right from the beginning, you know, and I think that the...
that in this, you know, in this version and in the original, you know, you are transported right from the beginning of the film, and you are just, you're there, and it's so exhilarating and so exciting, and you know, just really, really happy to be a part of it.
So tell me, do you get a text from John who calls you, tells you, hey, I'm thinking of you for Lion King?
Yeah. Well, actually, I got a call. I was getting a train from, I was going from New York to Washington, and I was just in the train station when I got the call. You know, not from John, but from my agent to talk about it, to say this is what's going on. And you know, I just went through a lot of emotions about it. Actually, I was just very, very excited, and you know, obviously, it's such an iconic film and such an iconic character that you're sort of very grateful to be invited to go on this kind of journey with something like this, and just incredibly excited and thrilled about it all. And and I felt like I wanted to see it, you know. I just I wanted to see whatever John was cooking up. I just felt like I was just excited about the project. I was just excited about what it could be.
Did you call Jeremy Irons? What are you doing?
I'm looking forward to seeing him. You know? I feel like these characters are so iconic, though, that they're almost, and in some ways, you know, because it's sort of, it is based around and written around these sort of Shakespearean characters, that, you know, they can hold different interpretations. Mm. You know, they can absorb different ways of looking at these characters.
So that's I've been asking everyone, Lion King's so classic.
Mm.
Why should people go see this new version when they have the classic?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that because it has, I just think about why it excites me. You know, what is it that excites me? And I feel like that anytime a different, you know, obviously there's the technological aspect of it, and anytime you have, but I think in all aspects really, anytime you have different interpretations, it reveals a different side of things.
Mm-hmm.
It reveals a different nature of it, you know. And I think that some of the great stories, some of the best stories, can absorb different interpretations, and they give different colors and different shades to a piece, and you realize in a new way, in a fresh way, the things that you love about that story, the things that hold through all the versions. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's one of the reasons why I loved seeing the stage version after seeing the animation version, and so you know, because it just holds a different reflection.
It definitely feels darker.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's something that's very, in terms of how this sort of rendering and how John has told the story, and how that realism is so powerful, and this kind of next gen technology really creates a very, very, very strong.
Do you understand the technology?
I don't understand it at all. I don't understand it at all. And I didn't get to do the thing. You know, people are saying, oh, yeah, we put in the VR experience, and then you go in and the camera was changing lens, and then people were like, oh, let's go up Pride Rock. And then everybody went up Pride Rock. I didn't get to do that. So I don't know what, and I don't actually really know what they're talking about when they're talking about that stuff, you know. I don't understand how they did it at all. And I think John was saying that there's one shot in the film that's real, that's like an image, and from a location, and I thought there were, like, you know, maybe 50,000 shots that were like,
right.
You know, it's remarkable to watch. I mean, it absolutely feels like completely like a game-changing experience. You know, that nothing is going to be quite the same again. And it's wonderful to do that, and to have that kind of moment in a story like this, you know, which people connect with all over the world, and is so centered in all of our, and rooted in all of our experiences, and that sense of family, and the families that you have, and the families that you choose. Jeez. You know, I mean, those are the key themes of this story, and they're so wonderful to revisit and to think about. And, you know, for us lot who saw the first one, you know, I always think I was a child when the first one came out. Like, I think of myself as like 5 years old. I was 17, you know.
Yeah, so I was a little older than that. Yeah.
But it made me feel like
I literally said at the office, yeah, this, I haven't seen it since I was a kid. And someone looked at me like, really? Yeah, right, I was like, okay, I'm, yeah, yeah, again. But it feels like.
But you felt like a child, you know, and that's the, and so to bring something like this to a whole new generation, you know, is, you know, it's such a privilege.
So let's talk about singing.
Oh, that's so good.
You had to do a little singing in there.
That's, yeah.
How much fun was that? Scary? Nervous? I don't think of you as a singer.
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, no, tell me about that.
Well, you know, I've you know, I've had a little I've had a little sing song in my that, in my life.
That's what everyone on the carpet, I'll be like, you're a singer. Like, you know, I'm, you know, I sing.
I've held a tune once in a while. You'd have to know me very well.
Such an iconic song, though.
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of the songs,
right.
All of the songs are iconic, and that is the amazing thing about this this soundtrack, and you know, it's you know, it's just it's like the best soccer team in the world, you know, right. What I mean? Like, even the guys on the bench are like,
okay, but you're on a soundtrack now with Beyonce.
I mean, I'm the guy on the bench.
I mean,
yeah, no, that's pretty remarkable. I mean, that actually, you know what? I hadn't actually thought of it in those terms.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm ever going to be able to unthink of that again in my life. So thank you for that. And people are going to be bored. I'm telling you now, there are going to be people bored of me relating that exact sentence.
I'd like a reservation at this restaurant. You know, I'm on a soundtrack.
Yeah, I'm on the soundtrack with Beyonce. Oh, this table? You mean you put the guy on the soundtrack with Beyonce at this table? Yeah, here's to the rest of my life. That's great.
What was it like being on that stage last night with Beyonce? I mean, it's just other level.
It was wonderful, you know, as a huge fan and a huge fan of all of everybody, right. You know. I mean, it's a really incredible cast of people and everybody bringing, and a great director and just everybody bringing that extraordinary passion, right. And just really good fashioned love to a project like this that I felt very nourished watching the film, you know, in a way that I maybe didn't even necessarily expect to.
It played so well in the theater last night.
Engage with it, and I would be having a good time. But I felt something different. I felt a slightly different emotion. I felt like it was something that I really needed, and I was really nourished by. And that was just great.
And how important, you know, the first film wasn't as diverse as this film. It's a different time.
Yeah.
How important is that to see that these characters are being played by people of color?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's an indication of movement, you know, but you know, obviously, it still creates conversation, and that's strange and frustrating. It's a film, and a project set in Africa. It shouldn't create any conversation at all.
Right.
That it has people of different colors in the film. You know, it shouldn't be something that's even discussed or thought about, really, right. Of course. And, you know, and then extended beyond that, all projects should have diversity. All projects should have.
But they don't.
But of course they don't. And that's something that we sort of continue to work and continue to sort of plug away at and see, you know, where we get to.
How do you think Hollywood is doing?
Well, I think it's all, you know, complex, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that... We live in a time now where there's an extraordinary amount of material, and there's a kind of widening net of material,
right.
And that can, I think, give a sort of impression sometimes that that a lot of attitudes are changing just because you know, people think of things sometimes as a sort of numbers game, and there's an obsession with data. But data doesn't really talk about what happens when those things shrink, when the number of projects shrink, when the whole, when the game shrinks in a different way, whether people really change are really changing or are open to change. You know, the statistics and the percentages can be misleading sometimes. Mm-hmm. And what I think is going to be and is always and constantly important is to really to allow us all to kind of evolve together and to give room and space for that to happen, and to know that the process of change is always complicated and should be something that is nurtured. You know, I'm not really here to wag any fingers at all, you know, but I do want to encourage people to embrace all these things, and so we can all kind of evolve and develop and move forward together. You know, it's for a richer and more entwined society.
And you're going back to London for a little royal premiere.
Heading back to London for a little bit of that, yeah.
So what do you tell your American co-stars? Do you sort of tell them the protocol, what they could, what
they
couldn't?
I've been trying. They don't listen. It's Republic. you know, I actually need a little brushing up myself. Yeah. As soon as I get off the plane in Heathrow, I'm going to take some aside and say, what goes on again? How we do this? What's happening when we go up there? Yeah, no, it's all going to be very, very fun, I think.
Especially if there are the actual guys there and women there who could be the king and queen by after, you know, later on. Like,
yeah,
there are
sure.
the kind of human Simbas.
Exactly, exactly. I wonder how they see it, you know.
Right, because like, when they yeah, hear
yeah,
king,
yeah,
like...
King, they go like, yeah, king.
Because he's looking over, you know, the Pride Land, and do they go on the top of Buckingham Palace? And Charles goes, one day.
Well, there's everything the light touches.
Even
and
the,
beyond that.
Even the bridge? Even the Ferris wheel?
Yeah.
And what's your favorite Lion King song?
It's sort of, I don't know. I think it's impossible to say, really. Mm-hmm. I feel like, I think that from the very first note of the very first introduction of that first sound, you know, I'm captured.
Right.
You know, I'm away. I think the score, the sound, the music is such an extraordinary part of this whole journey. And that is, and again, for me, you know, watching this again, and that sort of sense of just being taken with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the music is such an amazing part of that journey. And because there is that familiarity as well, that mm-hmm. it hits you right in that spot. Like,
so how, so in the contract that you signed with Disney,
uh-huh.
are there more Lion King sequels? Or do you have to, are you going to get your own Disney Plus show? You know, how does this all work?
Yeah, yeah.
Because as evil as Scar is, you know, you're fascinated by him.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
see like...
You want to see the spin-offs.
I want to see the original origin story.
Yes.
I want to see before he got the scar.
Oh, you want to see how that all went down?
Yes.
That's a story right there.
So are you going to do it for Disney Plus?
Yeah, I think we should go in and have this conversation with
Hello,
him.
Bob.
Yeah, exactly. I began to have that. I just softened him up last
night. You're amazing. So we great seeing
you. And you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, pleasure.
That was Chiwetel Ejiofor. Thanks for listening to today's episode of The Big Ticket. Coming up tomorrow, more Lion King with director Jon Favreau. Wait till you hear what he told me about the day Beyonce first played him Spirit, her new ballad in the new Lion King. Until then, this is The Big Ticket. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. See you tomorrow.